Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to Matthew 21. Here's a record of the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem for the last time before he was crucified. There's an amazing tumult at this time. Seems as if the whole world has gone after Jesus. And right in the middle of this record of these things is the praise of the babes. We're going to consider that at the occasion of the baptism of an infant in our midst, reminding us of what baptism is all about and what the gospel is. And so let's hear from God's word, Matthew 21, and no good place to start here. Really, it's right in the middle of it. But let's go to verse 8, and we'll read through verse 16. Matthew 21 and verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And here's the context. Jesus is coming, and he's riding on a donkey, and he's riding into Jerusalem to claim his kingdom. Then the multitudes who went before them and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Of course, they're asking about Jesus. So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temples and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. They were full of anger. They hated this praise of Jesus. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, and this is my text here, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise.'" That's as far as we'll read. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and to our living. For here we have the infallible record of the praise of the babes. Our text is a recitation, in fact, of the infallible record of the Old Testament and the versification of Psalm 8 that we read or that we sang just a moment ago. Now in the New Testament is penned by Matthew this record of the praise of the babes. This signifies when both Old and New Testament do speak the same thing, as they always do, the eternal significance of the praise of the babes, the lasting importance of God's people recognizing here in the praise of the babes something that's for them, even the gospel of salvation. Jesus at this time, remember, is received with indignation by the Jewish leaders. They don't get it. But as God's people, we are called not only to get it, but we are to read these things, to ponder them, and to learn the lesson of the praise of the babes. This we do at the occasion of the baptism of one of the babes of the church, and so that we can have praise, and so can the baptized ones have the praise of God from our hearts and coming out of our mouths all our days, now and forever. So I want to consider out of the mouth of babes. We use that phrase often, don't we? But that's my theme for my text here, out of the mouth of babes. I want to consider three things: the praise uttered, the praise that is perfected, as Jesus says, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." What does that mean? And then finally, the praise that is noted. Because our text begins with, "Have you never read?" implying that the leaders of the Jews should have read and taken into account the praise of the babes of the psalm. So now the praise that's uttered. Outstanding. We don't have any record of the children themselves crying these things, except in Matthew 15 here. We don't have them crying, but the disciple, the chief priests and the scribes are seeing this, and they're noting that the children are crying out in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And that occasions their indignation and Jesus' instruction. I believe here that we ought not to limit the praise of the babes to just this phrase. I think that perhaps they were imitating their parents of verse 9 and the multitudes who were praising Jesus similarly to the babes, who said also after "Hosanna to the Son of David" this, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." So you have this praise of the babes mimicking the parents as babes do, mimicking the parents' praise, and we have a snippet of this, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and I have no doubt that they were also here and there and in whatever way babes could, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." Now, what does all this mean? We don't have a lot of time to expound the significance of these things, just a few things. I want to point out to you, first of all, that the text, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and "Blessed is he who comes," and so on, is at once a prayer, a supplication, and a praise. All our prayer should be both that. We pray for things, but we have as the focus the praise of God, and this is the same way here. Literally, we could translate "Hosanna" as "Save, Lord, pray," or "We pray." Or we could translate it in a way that means they're praising God, "Salvation, Lord." So not the verb "save, Lord," that would be a supplication, something we're asking, or the babes were asking, "Save us," but also a praise, a statement of fact. "There's salvation, Lord. Praise be to God." And given the fact that they're entering in this prayer and praise as Jesus is coming into the temple, it's not surprising that they're praising God as well as asking for God to save them. Well, now this praise is taken from a psalm, another psalm than Psalm 8. We're going to refer to that, but it's Psalm 118. And part of this psalm was our call to worship this morning. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Well, right after that call to worship, I don't know if you noticed this, but verse 25 is quoted in our text. Psalm 118, verse 25, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." And then this, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." So that is being said here by the people, the multitudes, and the children of the people. The babes have the psalms in their mouth. Now, of course, that's not surprising either for those of us who know what the psalms were to the Jewish people. They were the songbook of the Old Testament church. And many of the hymns and the psalms, the Psalter numbers that we sing are based on these glorious songs. Well, Psalm 118 was a part of the section of the psalms that was sung at the time of Passover. And this is the time of Passover. Jesus is coming to claim his crown at the Passover feast in the last week of his life on earth, a celebratory feast of the deliverance that God gave in Egypt, when he passed over the houses of Israel through the blood of the lamb that was sprinkled on their doorpost. Well, here it is. And Jesus is at the center of this praise, this Hallel psalm that's being sung by the people who recognize in Jesus the Messiah of whom Psalm 118 does speak. Now, this praise of the babes means that there must have been some kind of recognition by the babes, the little ones. They're not said to be even 8 or 9, but babes and sucklings, but no doubt included in them was older children, children of brothers and sisters who had the sign of the covenant as well, and so on. And they're intuitively, if not with intelligence, they're recognizing something that's going on here. And they're led of the Spirit of God. This is what Jesus is saying. To praise Messiah. The multitudes may have got it wrong in their wrong sort of praise, but these seem to have gotten it right, who are not misinformed by the false leadership of Jews and scribes and Pharisees, but who intuitively in their very soul are being pointed to God and the praiseworthiness of this Jesus. And at this time, the crowds are mobbing him. The children in the temple are praising him who is the stone which the builders rejected, but who becomes the chief cornerstone of the temple, the church that God will establish through the blood of the Lamb who is Jesus. Well, specifically, they recognize in this praise, and they say, Hosanna to the Son of David, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're recognizing Jesus is king. He's come to claim his kingdom here, even though it be that he wears a crown of thorns. They're recognizing something intuitively and praising him for this fact also that he's priest. And so he comes into the temple where priests would lead the worship, and they should have led the worship, and he cleans it out of the thieves. And all that is left, it seems, are these little babes crying praises to Messiah, the holy king, if ever there was one. He's praising him, as we read here, who is the Son of David. No doubt they had in their minds the covenant promise to David, 2 Samuel 7, 12 and 13, the promise that he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. 2 Samuel 7, 12 and 13. You see, they're full of the Old Testament. And the babes here are not missing the fullness of the full Old Testament. The word from Genesis to Malachi and also of the New Testament, Jesus. And that's the glorious significance of this praise. And there's one thing that certainly these little ones are not missing of Jesus, which everyone else seems to be missing at this time. The humiliation of this king priest. Oh, he comes with authority, and the crowd is seeking to mob him, to make him a king like Caesar. They want a king like a David and a Solomon to conquer their political and earthly enemies. But there's something that the children, whom Jesus notes are praising him perfectly, or at least in a manner that is perfect grace, there's something they recognize. You see what they're recognizing? Well, first of all, the donkey. Jesus is riding on a donkey. And Zechariah tells us that the significance of the riding on the donkey is that he's lowly. He's meek. He comes and he doesn't come to conquer like Caesar. He doesn't come with armies. He comes and he's ready to die to establish his kingdom. He comes, and here he is, befriending the children. You remember in Matthew 18, the disciples were seeking to be, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus takes a little child, and in other places he takes a child, even an infant, and he says, these are the kind who inherit the kingdom of God. He must be like them. I wonder if these little children had also been befriended by Jesus at another time. Maybe you think when we befriend children, we give them little candies and so on, and we come alongside, we put them in their arms. But Jesus, friend of such like, these children, no doubt must have had a special spiritual attraction for them and they for him. They recognized, as children can, who's a friend and who's not. And in Jesus, they're seeing that he's come for the meek and the lonely. And hear this, I find exemplified, and we ought to take from this because it's set forth as an example. They recognize Jesus is the friend of sinners and of those who are not worthy of his friendship. And in this, there are praises outstanding. The mob here, remember, that mob, they're going to leave Jesus soon. The more he instructs them in this last week, they're going to leave him. And at the end of this week, that mob is going to be saying, crucify him. We don't want anything to do with this one. And his disciples themselves, they would deny him. They would flee from him. They don't get it. The Jewish leaders are outstanding here for their indignation and contempt for Jesus. And they can't stand that the little ones are crying out this praise. They can't stand it. Be quiet, say. What pests! And all the while, they're giving glory to God. Just like today, isn't it? This praise here is mentioned for us to be an example of what our praise ought to be and point out the fact that as you praise God in Jesus revealed, it's not going to be a popular thing. Even in the religious community. And the Bible says that. Increasingly, there's a falling away from the message of the gospel, even that's declared in the Christian church. And you say, well, you're being awful negative here, Pastor. Well, the Bible says this, and this is the context of this beautiful, positive declaration of praise. We must ourselves be careful. The leaders in the church, that you're not leading the people into a kind of occultic type of worship or a worship of man. And the followers in the church, that you're not led, hoodwinked by leaders who are leading you away from the cross and of the sacred elements of the baptism and the supper and the preaching of the word, the means of grace. Instead, look to the babes. Look to the babes who find in Jesus everything. It's striking that in the Psalm 8, where Jesus is looking himself, have you not read in Psalm 8? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you've perfected praise. The psalm is a celebration of the whole earth giving glory to God, the heavens and the stars and so on. And then later on, human beings who are adults, what's man that you are mindful of him? But right in the front, verse 2 of Psalm 8, is the children, the babes, leading the way. There's something about the praise of the babes, the sucklings on mother's breast, which is outstanding. The loud, the long, the love praise of Messiah, blessing Messiah from the house of the Lord as the one in whom is their hope and the hope of the world. That leads to the second point. Jesus says that out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you, referring to God, have perfected praise. Psalm 8 has it this way, Psalm 8, which is recorded, Jesus is rehearsing this, it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies. Matthew 21, out of the mouths of these babes you've perfected praise. Psalm 8, out of the mouths and nursing of babes and nursing infants you've ordained strength. Can't get into the details of the differences here of the translation, but there's certainly inspired differences to bring out one meaning. And that's how you have to remember the Word of God is one at every point. There's no contradiction here. Slight differences that are brought to bear on the situation here. But the idea is certainly this. God has chosen the praise of babes to be such an outstanding thing of what praise should always be. Even in the psalmist, it's like the praise of the babes are set up as a strength or a bulwark, a wall in a city, even the city of God, to defend against the enemies who would mock, even as Jesus is in the midst of the mockers here in the temple. So the idea is that the children, the little babes, the Luke Joshuas and the people of the covenant of grace, in their praise as babes and sucklings, they're saying something, which is God saying something about the worthiness of God to be praised and the sinfulness of man when he doesn't praise. Now, how is the praise of the babes outstanding? two things I want to point out. There's something in the nature of little ones praising that is outstanding and puts us to shame. Really. There really is. Like this. Their praise is pure. When little ones praise, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Don't your hearts melt? They mean it. It's not that they're children, they don't understand it, they don't get it. They mean it so often more than we do. There's no guile. Jesus loves me, we sing, and we're just looking. Are they looking at me or whatever? We're not really meaning it. We're thinking about something else, not the children. They're singular in their praise, and they're trusting. They're trusting like mom. They're trusting mom and mother's breast, and they're trusting dad when he holds them in the arms and even throws them in the air. And he knows, they know, he's going to catch them. You see, there's something about the children and their praise before it's become politically correct. To praise God with a certain language. Because the church leaders say you have to have a certain language. There's something about the babes before they even know all of that stuff. That puts us to shame. They're not religiously correct. They're not crowd correct. None of these things. They're simply righteous. They're simply God's people. Saying just what God wants and not what others want. It's striking the stories you have. And I know some of you, and one of you with whom I talked this week, has of this out of the mouths of babes stories. Maybe you've had them all when you've been embarrassed, maybe, because your child has said something at the table and the neighbors or the in-laws are there, and oops, that was a family secret, but the child said it anyway. But here, this is the significance here, out of the mouths of babes coming not embarrassing things, but praiseworthy things. One of you said, for example, and this is very much to the point here, that you, when you were a little boy, were visiting maybe a rich aunt or something, I forget, and the rich aunt, or someone, whoever it was bragging, we have so much here, and we're so glad that you could share our so much, and we have all of this stuff, and all of this, and then the little boy, who is now a grown-up in this church, but when that grown-up was little, said to the aunt, with no guile, well, my mom and I, we don't have much, but we have Jesus, and we're happy with that. That's what the babes say. Before we get all grabby, before we get so caught up in the world, they're saying we have Jesus, and we're happy with that. Or like the little girl, and I don't tell these stories often here. Maybe I should more. I don't know. A little girl in the church program recites Psalm 23. She's supposed to cite Psalm 23. She becomes all flustered, and all she could do was blurt out, "The Lord's my shepherd, and that's all I want." That's it. Out of the mouths of babes, God has perfected praise. It's in the nature of the child. We learn from it. But there's something more than nature here. There's grace. Jesus is saying, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Calling attention to little ones who are not theological ones, who are not graduates of Harvard, who are just little ones. Because the work of praise in those little ones is a work of God upon a fallen race that shouldn't be praising if they're left in their place. But something happens, Jesus is pointing out to us. God shows mercy. God shows grace so that out of the mouths, even of humans and little ones, there's praise. See, the natural thing, the thing that is what we're all born into in this race, Baptism signifies this. That's why we need cleansing. The natural thing is we don't praise God. And our children, they show the natural thing often, don't they? Even when they're saved and they're, you know, the Holy Spirit may be working in them and so on, yet there's flesh, isn't there? There's a lot of selfishness. We hear from children, there's a lot of me, myself, and I, and grabbing, that's what we hear, and this is my toy, and that, all of that. We have to work to overcome that. But what Jesus is pointing out here is the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. It has nothing to do with the little child standing up for Jesus and the little child passing the catechism test and the little child doing that. But it has everything to do with God, you see. God who sets little ones in the midst who can't do a thing, who are incredibly needy and they know it. And God says, when they praise, you're to be mindful of the fact that out of the mouth of these babes I'm perfecting the praise that ought to be yours, because salvation is not of you and is not of who the guy who runs down the road shouting phrases from the Bible. It's of God. That's the point. So there's a celebration of how God saves every single one of us. And do you understand that? This is the praise of God's covenant. As we read in the form, it's biblical. God calls sinners in the line of generations and promises to them, I'm going to save you in the generations, as many as I'm going to call. This is a praise to Jesus, therefore. It's the reformational praise. Jesus alone and grace alone and the Messiah, the Son of David alone, is our Savior. It's this praise of Him who from cradle to grave was praising the Father, the perfect Son in whom was perfected the perfect praise, as also the substitute for us praiseless ones who needed a Redeemer on the cross. You see here, there's a praise to God setting bulwarks in the church too. As the psalmist says, the children are like a wonderfully ordered wall, the front line of the defense against the mockers. And when we, with defiance, baptize the children, we're saying to the world, here God is establishing His city of grace and salvation. Here it is. And we're not mockers of Jesus, we're praisers of Jesus. And now added to the bulwarks of this Beckwith home is also added to the bulwarks of the Sovereign Grace Church, this child, and we are reminded that this is what God has wrought. What a gift. What a delightful thing. And so the child will be raised in the fear of God and by the church too. And we will praise God together, because we're noting this, aren't we? This is my final point. Jesus makes a note of the fact that the Jewish leaders weren't noting their own word, the word that had been given to them. He says, have you never read? You know, you're criticizing the praise of these ones, and haven't you read? This is the work of God. Haven't you read that? Of course, they'd read it over and over. They just weren't getting it. And that's what, again, is happening today. And there's many here. And these blind leaders are leading the blind. And they're not getting what the Bible is teaching about Jesus and praise. And so they're enemies of Christ and enemies of His doctrine, His cross, His salvation. They're enemies because He rebukes them. And He reminds them that they need salvation just like these little ones. They're among the intelligentsia in the advanced Christian church that's come a long way, baby, since just the old, the Bible interprets itself, and they're saying, you know what, we're going to be critics of the Bible, and we're going to take our science, and that will interpret Genesis. We can take our science, and that's going to tell us of the real Jesus, who's not really revealed in the Gospels. And so they're calling Jesus, really, of the Gospels, a fraud, or a liar, or a lunatic. And you have this whole world that we're living in and the child will be raised in. It's saying, well, we don't need Jesus, the Savior that the Christian church has said He is. Isn't this amazing, the world we're living in? The world this child will be raised in, and by the parents not only, but grandparents who care for them, and a church that cares for them. We're living in a world, and they're not seeking Jesus' Savior, but another Savior, because they're perceiving there's much more serious problems than sin, like global warming, or the need for justice and equality, and the right to share the same bathroom for everybody. Isn't that foolish? Doesn't anybody get it? These are the times that try righteous men's souls, yes. Beware. Beware. And read. Read. Take up and read. Maybe for the first time. Maybe for the first time, and instead of your glasses and your prejudices or mine, we're really getting it. This is for me. This is what it's all about. And those, you see, who really read this and rejoice, really get this, they are rejoicing in this, because this is a celebration of the covenant of grace. This bath here is a celebration of our being bathed in the blood of Jesus and in His Spirit. It's the truth that God is still working in the covenant. And this is where the church is being added to and built up in, as well as on the mission field. But this, a place where we and our families can be worshipers of God together, and from our loins as many as God will call. Here's a place. Parents leading the way. Parents were leading the way also at this time in the arrival of Jesus, and they were leading the children astray, but God was preserving children with perfect praise. But now we'll lead the way, won't we? This family and all of our families will be leading the way. We'll be helping these children to articulate their praise, and we won't avoid the doctrine. We won't avoid the doctrine also of the baptism of infants. That is taught here, you know. If the praise of the infants is that in which praise is perfected, who are we to keep them from the sign and the sacred seal of God's covenant in the generations? Who are we to wait upon their coming of age when God has said the age of the perfect praise is the children, the sucklings? We will teach them, but there's something here that we will also be taught, and that's this. The praise of the babes we want to promote also among ourselves and to follow their example. We heard that just today on this podium, didn't we? The praise of the babe next to the babe, without guile, saying something. You hear it? Saying something. Not just cute, covenantal, lovely. Believe that. We're to learn from that. You know what we're to learn? It's not the wise of the world. It's not the mighty. It's not the strong. It's not the ones with the double docks. It's not the ones who are sophisticated and so on. It's the foolish, the little ones, the of none account that God is pleased to dwell among. Isn't that something? And again, this is the gospel. And Jesus chooses to reveal not to the wise and prudent, but to the babes His truths. And all of these things we're learning here. And as the babe desires the milk with great eagerness from mother's breast, so we are to desire the milk of the Word of God. And they praise Jesus, they do, in the temple, and we praise Him in the church of Jesus Christ, and we're so glad for that. We can assemble together, and there's means whereby God would lead us to heaven. We're even taught this, as our canons of Dort remind us. Part of the gospel of the praise of the babes is this. If any of our little ones dies in infancy, we ought not to doubt that they go to heaven. Maybe some of you have had that. We ought not to doubt. You know why? This word. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, I perfected praise. And it may just be that God wants the babes home sooner than later. We're happy with that? Be happy with that. Because God gets the praise there by perfect babes. And now we praise. Let's learn. May the praise go on in our families, in this family, in our families, in the church, now and forever. The praise of the babes, that kind of praise, with the babes of the church. And God be praised.